Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century.
We're back. It's 13 after. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying with us, those of you who have been. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm excited about our two guests this hour as we continue our series, probably wrapping up our series, not absolutely sure, but we're probably getting close to wrapping up this series on how to start, maintain, and grow your website, whether it be informational, transactional, or e-commerce. And the two guys that's been helping me do this are father and son, Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software, and Paul Berry, who's in charge of their website and all their electronic marketplace stuff. Paul is, as I say, is Tim's son, and they are with Palo Alto Software, the folks who create and who have created and produce and make available to you the best software in the marketplace for your computers. Paul and Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Tim. Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you here, guys. As I said, we've been conducting this series on how to create and maintain a good website and everything. We've got some new things to talk about. Paul, I know that you wanted to talk about the planning for something like this, the actual business plan.
Absolutely. I wanted to kind of focus on what makes this, what do you have to include on a web plan, you know, what makes it different, and what do you focus on? We actually went down and talking to a big design shop down in the Silicon Valley. It's who is just pumping out websites for people, and they're desperately in need of a good format for making people go through the plan before they actually go through the design process.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that all nailed down is incredibly important before you go through it.
And most people, it never occurs to them.
No, it's kind of a, okay, I'll dive in and try.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that attitude, but in web design, you're usually going to be paying a price if you just dive in.
It'll cost you money, and you'll also probably wind up with a poor result.
Oh, absolutely. And most people end up incredibly frustrated.
What are some of the main components of a web plan?
Well, I think one thing you're going to have to face.
And is that the right thing to call it?
Well, I think that that's a decent thing to call it.
It's
kind
of, it's a good vernacular term, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, web plan.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sure. And it's a new world, so.
Yeah. Go ahead. What are some of the key components of a web plan?
Well, some of this is, you know, your strategy, just like a business plan. You know, you're still going to need an executive summary, objectives, and a market summary too. But where it starts to get individual is with your web strategy and with the front end and the back end, and what you're expecting to accomplish in there. Doing a good survey before you go into this of, you know, what's around that is like your site, what mm-hmm. you're going to have to do to distinguish your site from the others, and really critically, you have to decide what you want your site to do before you go into, you have to have that down before you go into contracting somebody or actually getting that work done.
You know, I want to stop for just a second, Paul and Tim, and talk about what you were just saying, Paul. And you have helped me, you and some other people have helped me to sort of pigeonhole three different, and these are my terms, pigeonhole the three different types of websites. And I want to mention those again. I promised the audience that I would mention those again. And these are the way I see the three. The first one is just informational, and that's just where you put basically a brochure up on the internet, and that's okay if that's what your plan is. And the whole idea is it's got to be your plan if that's what you wind up with. And two is the transactional site, and that is the one where Well, you just share information back and forth. They can download things off your site, information, or they can email you. You can email them back and forth, and you can actually share information. And then the third one is the e-commerce site. And you know, since I've been talking about those three things, whenever I've done training, I actually did a presentation yesterday, and whenever I said, whenever I defined the different websites like that, you can really see the lights come on in people's eyes. It makes sense to differentiate between those three.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting yourself in one of those categories and going for a concrete goal is so important.
And don't you think, Paul, that if you can put yourself in one of those pigeonholes, so to speak, one of those cubby holes, that helps you to make sure that you don't spend money on things that you didn't need, or make sure you don't get disappointed in your result?
Yeah, absolutely, because if you just are going in, you've heard a lot of people talking about the internet, and you want a .com site for yourself. If you don't get yourself in one of those categories and get your expectations matched up with what you can actually do, yeah, you're going to just be facing a lot of disappointment and a lot of excess costs.
Tim, unfortunately, don't you think that there are people who their business is not as great, as good as it needs to be, and they say, hey, I'm going to have a website, and that way I'll be able to grow my sales that way. And basically they put up an informational site, and they don't understand why the sales aren't coming in.
Oh, expectations are critical in this, the whole web thing. There's a lot of money being gained, but there's a lot of money being lost with people whose expectations are completely out of sync with reality in some cases, or more important, with how much money can we afford to spend, mm-hmm. and how much money will that realistically generate for the business? So expectations go all over the map.
Yeah.
This is true for any plan, but more so with the internet.
Paul, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to stop for a moment and help maybe someone who hasn't been listening to us for the last few visits, that it would help them to know what those three categories were.
No, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Can you pick back up where I interrupted you? You were talking,
sure,
about some of the different things that you would need in a plan.
Sure, definitely. And actually, you got it. I was just talking about the front end and back end, and that was a perfect place to drop in those three things, because that's definitely where you're going to want to talk about it. For example, if you have just a brochure site, then you're going to be able, using either front page or whatever it is, you're going to be able to pull together a small contact form.
And if you have any ability on the computer at all, especially as with desktop publishing, you can probably do a front page site yourself, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. People are learning this today. It has become a lot easier than it was.
Stand by, folks. We'll be right back with Tim and Paul Berry. I'm glad you stayed with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's where you can go to learn more about business planning by going to my archives and listening to my visits with Tim Berry, one of our two guests this hour. Tim's been with us quite a few times over the last couple of years, and he is very well represented in my archives, and will be more and more as we get more and more archives up on the website. And you can go there and listen to my conversations with Tim Berry, or you can go to these websites and learn more about what they have to say on their websites. Tim, give us your locations, please.
Our business planning site is www.bplans.com.
Yep, that's where you can go to learn to see other business plans, right?
That's right.
It's all free, by the way, folks.
Plans, mini plan application. Everything on that website is about business planning, and it's all free.
Yep.
www.bplans.com.
Now, if you would like to find out about their products, there is at least one button there to click over and find out about products, right, Tim?
And that's at www.paloaltosoftware.com.
Right. All right. Good.
Easy one to remember is bplans, and then you can go to Palo Alto Software, or just read the sample plans, look at what we have there. We've really got a lot of content that's free.
And folks, they're working really hard to give you a lot of stuff to make sure, and this is what I'm really proud of you guys for, Tim, is you're helping small business owners get good at planning. Actually, they can get good at planning before they even pay anybody any money for a business plan, and I like that. That's good contribution to the marketplace, and I congratulate you guys on that.
Well, and while we're on that, remember we're partway through talking about what the internet plan is or the web plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember that is an example of a very interesting, very common internet strategy. Our company has been putting more and more information available to everybody for free.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this is common in the Internet. And ironically, the more we put up there for free, the more our sales are.
And I like that kind of dynamic in the marketplace. I really do. I do think that kind of information that's available, that's what I'm trying. As you know, that's the model I'm following with smallbusinessadvocate.com, and that's the model I think is going to make the marketplace a lot stronger, and it's going to make companies, especially small companies, a lot stronger than they've ever been before, because we'll have the information.
Well, Jim, while we're on the subject, can we mention another something for free on the Internet
Yes.
that we like?
Go ahead.
You have in the past on occasion given away my book, Hurdle, the book on business planning.
Yep.
Which people normally buy at our website or Amazon.com.
Right. I still have a couple of those.
Well, that is one of two books that we've taken, and we've put the whole book, word for word and all the illustration, onto the Internet in a website that somebody can go and browse, and now it's there, also available free.
That's new information. I didn't know that.
That's a new one. There's two books on that same website, and I'll get to the website in a minute.
Okay.
There's one on how to do a business plan, and there's another complete book on how to do a marketing plan. Both of those books are on the web at www.bizplans.com,
B-I-Z-P-L-A-N-S. All right, good.
And those are web books. That's, we think, very new for the Internet. It's the same book that you could go buy, but what we're doing is if you just click and read it on the Internet, it's free there for anybody who wants it.
Wow. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. Folks, now you know why I like having Tim on the show, because he gives to you first, and then if you want to do business with him, fine. But that's the reason. That's one of the reasons why they've got the largest selling business planning software in the world, and it's also very good. I've used it myself, by the way, folks. I have created business plans using their software. Okay, Paul, we're talking about business plans, and what about funding? How do you forecast? How do you develop the funding mechanism for a website?
Well, it's going to really depend on where your business is at. I, regardless of the Internet, are you really starting up? Are you starting a .com company, or is this off of a traditional business?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We didn't put any huge amount of funding aside for our sites when it began. It began in 1996, and we started to just move along with it. And then as the opportunities opened up, we started to put more funding into it. But sometimes you're going to need to maybe draw from the existing business.
But you are going to need a budget.
You are going to need a budget, for
and when
sure.
When we come back, we'll get you to start out talking to us about how to develop a budget for a website and about how much we should expect to pay. I'd like for you to tell us that, too. Folks, we're going to be right back. It's 29 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Tim Berry and Paul Berry of Palo Alto Software. Stay with us. We're back. It's 33 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tim Berry, president of Palo Alto Software, and Paul Berry, his son, who is in charge of their web operations. One of the things that he does in the at Palo Alto Software is also with us. And Paul, did I get ahead of you when I talked about funding a minute ago? We were going down through the outline of what you've got to have for a web plan, and I was afraid maybe I got ahead of you when I mentioned funding.
Well, maybe you do want to figure out your budget before you figure out your funding.
Where the money's going to come from, yeah.
And that is like the next topic after web strategy in your plan, which is financials, budgets, and forecasts.
All right. Tell us what's in that.
Basically, you're going to want to summarize, you know, for yourself, what are your expense budgets, your sales forecasts, and your breakdowns. The main thing is going to be, I mean, this is so individual to your site. Is the site ever going to make a dollar itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, like we went through and mm-hmm. talked about it, that's only the e-commerce sites that are going to mm-hmm. be doing that.
That's simply, can someone actually do business with you on the net? Can they lay their
yeah.
money down on the net?
Absolutely,
yeah.
And it may be very primitive. There's still some sites, you know, it's still a lot of people are just taking the credit card numbers and et cetera and taking them into email and then processing them in-house the next day and getting an email back to people.
Right. But most people don't want to do that, though.
No, it's crude, and it doesn't exactly impress people, but it's not a bad first step if you've got to make a first step, you know.
If somebody can order, and guys, answer this question. If somebody can order a book or a product by email, but it's not, they don't actually give you their money or their credit card or whatever, but they say, hey, please send me this, here's my address, send it COD, or I'm mailing my check or whatever. Is that considered an e-commerce site?
Well, I mean, it depends. If you're with hardcore internet e-commerce people, they'll turn their nose up at it. And once you get to the point of charging real time on their credit card checking, you never really want to go back.
Right.
But that setup process can be quite large and
tedious. And I'm gonna say here, because I'm more old fashioned perhaps. Yes, you bet that's an e-commerce site, because that's you go back to the objective. What is that site about? It's about taking orders.
Yeah,
I think, definitely.
And if that's the way you crawl before you walk, then I guess that's okay, right, Tim?
Well, and I know, but don't even speak disparagingly of it. That is a big step forward for a lot of buyers as well as sellers. Now I can order this widget online,
right.
And if it comes 4 days later through a courier service, nothing wrong with that. Nothing bad about that.
Yeah.
That's really getting down to the core.
I agree. Okay, now back to budgets, Paul.
So the key here is, like you said, figure out what type of site you are, because you're going to treat your plan totally differently, depending on it. If you are, and most people fall into brochures or transactional sites, then what you're talking about here is a marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. And then what you want to talk about is your ROI, return on investment. How is it going to affect you? Maybe you have, like, for example, we have a box out there in the retail market. You can go down to Office Depot. Before we started actually selling the software, the idea was we wanted to increase brand equity and increase market share and make sure that anybody researching business plans could find us.
Mm-hmm.
And so originally the plans were based on that, on increasing market share in retail. So it may be very individual for you on there. What are you trying to achieve with it? You want to do a traffic forecast too, and this is real tough to do.
I was going to say, how do you forecast traffic?
Well, it's real tough to do if you don't have any experience with it. A lot of people have been working on a website since 96, and they've been following sort of their own site traffic and feeling how difficult it is to gather traffic.
Mm-hmm.
If you're new to it, then you're going to have to do some learning. But you will want to pick some specific things. You're going to have to explain, where are you getting your traffic from? Do you have something specific enough for a search engine that you can get in there as a result?
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan to be a perfect site to partner with other sites? You can get an idea for what type of traffic you're getting from using Alexa, and Alexa.com. You can download. It'll give you some comparisons between sites, so you can start getting an idea of what other sites around your target destination.
Does it have any industry information? Any separate industry information?
Well, it does not. Alexa doesn't go by industry, but you can go to literally any site, and it'll give you a feel for what type of traffic they're getting, what type of speed they're pushing things at. And
let's put some parameters on this too that make it a little bit easier. I think let's talk about what kind of traffic sites are getting. What's happening? I saw a list the other day of the top 5,000 internet sites in the United States for traffic.
Mm-hmm.
according to this list, to be among the top 5,000, you're getting 50,000 people visiting you per month.
50,000, not page views, but visitors.
Visitors, people who come to your web.
That's different. Stand by, guys.
The big ones get millions and millions a day.
Yeah.
You're in the top 5,000 if you have 50,000.
Very, very interesting. Stand by, guys. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. It's 39 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, Small Business Advocate. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And Tim Berry and Paul Berry are our guests today. They're with Palo Alto Software. And we're talking about websites. We're talking about how to have one, how to maintain one, how to grow one, what you should do before you start spending money. And that's kind of where we are right now. And Tim, you had the floor before when we took our break, and I'm going to give it back to you.
And I was talking about numbers, realistic numbers, because I think people should know that if you're going to spend a lot of money on the Internet and try to develop a great site, you have to be really one of the top sites, surprisingly one of the top 5,000, but that's 5,000 out of many millions, to even be getting 50,000 people a month visiting you. So you might well, if you put up that restaurant site that we were talking about in a previous show that has its menu online, you might only get 10 visitors a month to your internet site if you're not marketing it.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere between 0, 5,000, 10,000 people a month, it depends on marketing. And before we leave this idea of numbers, I was fascinated doing the research last week to discover here's some interesting related facts. Number one is there are 180 million people who are going to the internet regularly in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 4% of the world's population. I saw a projection from IDC that says there will be 500 million people doing it regularly in 2003, which is what, 3-4 years from now?
Yeah.
Now, that's 11% of the population. Those numbers, to me, made me just amazed at how big this phenomenon is going to be. If we're now looking at only 4% of the world and how much we talk about the Internet and how much, say, in our business, this is a real business opportunity, and it is, and we've seen in the stock market how it's changed the economy, and we're still talking about only 4% of the world's population, and growing that all the way to 500 million in the year 2003 is still only 11% of the world's population.
It's amazing.
So there's some numbers in the background when we're talking about projecting traffic, and I just wanted to add that as kind of, here are the kind of numbers we're talking about, and I'll pass the floor back.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to point out here so that people are realistic but at the same time not getting intimidated, and I mentioned this to you guys earlier, I came up with a little statement that's part of a survey that I provided to some people. And this seemed to help some people when I said this to them. The people that you were talking about, Tim, actually not the top 5,000, but there are a handful of folks out there. You mentioned one of the names I think a minute ago, who are what we call the big dogs, the killer apps, AOL, Yahoo, and all those guys, right?
Right.
They're the big dogs. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you and I have both met people who think they want to be one of those big dogs. And what I say is, don't try to act like a big dog. Don't think you're going to become a big dog if you're not a big dog, if you don't have a lot of millions of dollars in order to become a big dog. But because the technology and the Internet has leveled the playing field, you can play in the yard with those big dogs, but you've got to find your niche. And, Paul, that's what you're talking about with the plan.
Absolutely. Oh, completely. You can make yourself look bigger than you are on the web. And that just takes really good design and really good implementation. Shooting too far will make you look unclean if you start having errors on your site and if you can't implement nicely what you were going to do. So you do want to have that really nailed down. We were talking about traffic and how you put it together, and Tim was mentioning some of these phenomenal numbers. you may be a click and mortar. There's a new term coming out on the internet, which is click and mortar, as opposed to brick and mortar.
Uh-huh.
And these companies are basically leveraging the fact that they do have some type of presence. You may even be a local restaurant, but you have a good presence in your neighborhood, and you don't really care about getting people in the UK and Paris to look at your site. But what you care about is the people in your neighborhood that your site may actually promote more loyalty and bring them in more often.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to very, you know, standard marketing things. It's just in your restaurant, you may have a card that's easy for them to take back that gives them the website address. You may start on your business cards and all your employees' business cards, putting that address for your website on. There's some concrete little things to start doing. A lot of .com companies are even starting to advertise, for example, on buses. So you may use some of your more traditional, you don't need to jump out into an entirely brand new world. You can take your steps. And you may know of some very targeted areas for you to market in, and you may just want to start marketing your website to those areas.
Paul, we're going to have to take a break. You had a new website you wanted to tell us about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got a great one for small business people.
When he says we, folks, he means Palo Alto. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. StartingCough. .com. That's
Starting Cost, all spelled out together.
It's an interactive tool, totally free, helps you really calculate what your startup costs are going to be and what your expectations can be, when you'll turn around from losing money to making money, what your break even is. Stand by, Paul.
Palo Alto Software, folks. One of small businesses' great benefactors. We are back at 54 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't forget to check out Tim Berry on my archives at smallbusinessadvocate.com. He is well represented there, and we got a lot more of these to be up on our website, including some of these visits we've been having with you, Paul. They'll be up before too long.
Great.
Paul, I want you to give that website again one more time.
www.startingcost.com.
This is for your business plan, folks. That should be a pretty intuitive name. StartingCost.com. Don't forget bplans.com, right, Tim?
Yeah.
That's the free one. That's where you can go to find out about some real live business plans. And PaloAltoSoftware.com. That's where you can go to actually buy their products. Tim, here's a question for you. How can you possibly plan a business that literally reinvents itself every 90 days?
Yes, we get that question a lot. It's one of my favorite questions, and the internet is where that question comes up most, because it has been changing. Literally every 3 months, it's a totally different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I answer to that question when it comes is, the more you have this rapidly changing environment, the faster things change, the more you need to plan. You can't not plan because things are changing so fast. The lack of planning is how some companies that have the luxury of doing it can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on the same thing that our audience will get for $2,000 or $5,000.
Would it be safe to say that the only thing that changes then over a traditional business plan is the chronology?
Well,
instead of a 5-year plan,
yes, it would be safe to say that. But what is really important in this context to say is, the faster the change, the more you have to plan, and that means managing your plan. That means watching the changes, managing plan versus actual. Going back to that plan every month, every 2 weeks, and saying, okay, what's changed? Why are we doing it differently? And that gives you a way to steer through change rather than just being bounced around like a billiard ball.
Yeah.
Now you're steering, and you're using your plan to steer by always checking how your assumptions have changed.
Right. Okay, now I want to touch on funding before we leave. We've got about a little over a minute. Paul, how do we fund this site?
Well, you know, I was just reading that VCs have put over $5 billion of capital into internet startups.
Venture capitalists.
Which is just an enormous increase over last year. you may be in an ideal position to get on the web, and you may have some big plans, and it may lead to a lot of money. But if it doesn't, it shouldn't mean that you don't want to go to the web anyway.
Well, plus the fact that you may not want to sell your what you have. You may just want to get
absolutely.
Some funding to help you, and if you can't fund that out of operating, then maybe you could go to your bank or go to the SBA and explain to them how you're going to create jobs and grow your business with a logical business plan.
Absolutely. And doing some of those standards, we're actually going to be putting together from all the sources. There's a lot of websites that are just dealing with the finding of venture money. And some of them are doing a pretty decent job. We're going to be putting together an interactive wizard that will take you through to figure out your expectations and then send you to the appropriate people. But there are a lot of possibilities there, and you can use something standard like the SBA.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out something like businessfinance.com or vcapital.com are both pretty good places to start doing some research.
Paul, I've got to cut you off. I'm sorry. We got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much. You were great today. Tim, you were too. Thank you both. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jim.
See you later, Paul.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.